It's Podville,
the family-friendly variety show. Pay your nickel at the box office and step right in.
I am your host, Corbin.
And I'm your hostess, Julie. And we're wedded in marriage.
Forever.
This week on Podville, Food Lovers, a musicale presentation of Bookmarks, and Animal Freak Shows. And Animal Freak Show. Just the one. Welcome to Podville.
Welcome. Doubling up on that welcome. So welcome.
You're welcome. I'm welcome.
And thank you.
You're welcome. So, hey, today today was a special day.
It was the specialist day.
And what's the specialist day?
Snow our day. Anniversary.
Oh.
It's not our anniversary.
Anyways.
Yes.
Today was a snow day.
Yeah, snow day. So
our oldest son, Theo, got to stay home from school. And you, my oldest husband, Corbin, got to stay home from work.
Kind of. Well, I got to work at home.
But that was nice.
It was nice. I didn't even have to put on pants.
You're not wearing pants at this moment.
Yeah.
You are wearing shorts, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to give people the wrong idea. We did a lot of fun things today. We baked some muffins in bread tins so that they looked like bread loaves, which
isn't
the kids
just
thought was exciting.
Bread?
What's the difference between a muffin and bread, really?
The shape.
But
What if you took like bread dough and cooked it in a muffin tin? Then they'd be rolls.
Yeah. What?
Wow. What are the rules? What is this alchemy?
We made some bread.
That's how our kids say it.
What else did we do? We read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. The kids fought a lot. Classic snow day move. Mm-hmm. We had some friends over. That was great. And they all played and fought together.
Great.
Yeah.
Melee.
Melee, yeah. Laissez-faire melee.
the laissez-faire was on your part.
Yep. So, Corbin, I know you grew up in a land where it snowed sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you ever have snow days?
Yes.
What did you do when you had snow days?
I would spend all day outside. I'd spent most of my time outside as a kid.
I don't know. You talk a lot about watching TV.
Yeah. It's like outside all day, watching TV all night. I didn't sleep. I still don't sleep. I don't sleep.
That's correct.
We grew up and lived across the street from a park where there was a big hill and some playground equipment. It wasn't a very big hill. It was bigger when I was smaller, by comparison. We would just sled and do crazy stuff. And like every now and then someone would come out with their skis and be like, I would see them like sliding down on their feet. How are they doing that? And then they would lift their feet up and I would see the skis.
They would ski down that little hill.
Yes. And as a kid, I'm like, that's so awesome. As an adult looking back, I'm like, that is incredibly lame. It's like the dumbest like skiing ever. It's like not even enough distance to like do a turn. It's just like, let's go ski. You're done. Squee. Wee, done.
Let's go squee. Well, I didn't even go sledding until I was 19 years old. And that's because I grew up in a land that did not have snow.
A desert hellscape called California.
You gotta say Southern California. Northern California is just a whole different ballgame. So I never had snow days growing up. But I did have ash days where it was the fires in the hills were so bad that ash would rain down and the air quality was so bad that we couldn't go to school.
See previous comment about desert hellscape.
So we couldn't go to school, but we also couldn't go outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you also now have black lung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a fun little thing about me.
Yeah. It's one of your main characteristics.
And I don't remember like doing anything special on Ash Days, except for not going to school.
Ash Days is a thing on the Dinosaurs TV show.
Is it? Oh boy.
Yep. And they go out and make an Ash boy. Man. Did you make an Ash Man? Did you have an Ash Ball fight? Did you eat Ash cones?
No, I didn't do any of those things.
Have you ever gone ash boarding?
Yeah, oddly enough.
Let's move on to our first segment.
Food lovers.
Food lovers.
But not that kind of lovers.
Lovers of food.
Yeah. Corbin, you and I are the opposite of foodies.
It's really hard to be disappointed if you have really low standards.
And if you're not picky, as I am.
Yes. Or if you just have really low standards, like I do.
I wonder if our standards are equally low.
You just have a broader base.
Yeah.
Things you're interested in eating.
I'm sure we'll get into that more as we discuss the restaurant that we went to. So, the basis of this segment is Corbin and I are in love.
Correct.
So that's why we go on dates.
Also correct.
Sometimes we go to restaurants.
Yes.
And so we're here to give a review to you, listeners, of the restaurants we go to. But I'm just warning you, it's not going to be very critical.
Yes. This is a food review from someone. Some whoms. This is a review from some whoms. With very low standards.
Yep. So, do you want to tell the people where we went last week?
We went to the fine dining establishment known as Win Buffet, which is a, I want to say Chinese buffet, but it's really an Asian buffet, because mm-hmm. it is a pan-Asian cuisine house of sorts.
I'm sure very thoroughly Americanized.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just what I like.
Authentic, Americanized Asian food. Yes, so we walk in to the Win Buffet and we go pay our monies and say, open the floodgates. It is time to fill our bodies with all of this food. And so we picked up some plates and ran to go start filling them. And then a waitress came and said, a waiter. It was a gentleman. Said, let me find you a table. Let me show you to a table. I'm like, that's not how this works.
And there were like 200 open tables.
Yeah, it's not like we needed help finding it. And so then we went and sat down and Julie put down her plate. I'm like, no, take that plate. Let's go fill them up. And so we walked over to the table and then walked back and filled up our plates.
It was very weird.
And then... it was before we started walking back, a waitress came by and like, what can I get you to drink? I'm like, out of my way is what you can get me to drink. I have food to eat.
Yeah, and there was like a soft drink fountain.
Yeah.
Just there. So yeah. We could have gotten our own dang drinks.
Yeah, it was like, what do you think this is? This is a buffet.
I guess we're very passionate about what buffets should and should not be.
Buffets should be an entire free-for-all.
Well, that's how the food is. Maybe we're just opinionated on how the establishment is run.
I guess. They were trying to be way too helpful.
If I'm there for a buffet, get out of my way.
Yeah, I feel like at a buffet, if the staff is trying to be very helpful, I feel like they're maybe like trying to cover up for the food in some way. Because really, it should all be about the food. If you're trying to add service on top of it, it's like, I get suspicious.
Well, I did not feel suspicious, especially once I started eating that very yummy food.
Yeah. Tell us about it, Julie.
Oh my goodness. I love seafood. That's something special about me.
How unique.
Yeah. And there were so many seafood options. My head was spinning. And I was like, I need to get one tiny thing of each thing. And that filled up my whole plate. And I was in heaven. There were so many delicious things to
eat.
Like
what?
The weirdest thing...
Doesn't matter.
The weirdest thing that I did that I felt like kind of a good for nothing was there was a pan of like linguine noodles and Alfredo sauce of some kind, like a white sauce of some kind mixed up, but also had huge chunks of crab meat in it. And I was like, I'm not interested in the noodles, but I do want that crab meat. So I just
picked all the crab meat out of it and ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, but it was so good.
It's a free-for-all. There are no rules.
Yeah.
Oh, and Julie had her first experience trying to eat a shrimp that was not preordained to be eaten.
Oh my god.
This is was not, I don't know what the words are. Beheaded.
It had beheaded.
Not denuded.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it had all of its original parts.
Including the poop vein.
Oh, ugh. Yeah. And I'd never experienced shrimp that way. And frankly, I never want to again.
Yeah. It's too much work.
I didn't know the proper way to eat it. Do some people eat the whole thing? Like the head too?
I have no idea. The way that you looked at that shrimp saying, wow, how am I supposed to eat this? Why would anyone ever eat this? Is how I look at all seafood.
No, I didn't ask myself, why would anyone ever eat that? Because I know there's delicious meats inside.
But you also gave up and said, no, thank you, after you couldn't get it open and didn't know what to do and what you were supposed to eat or not. And that's how I feel about all seafood.
But why would I waste my time on something I didn't know how to handle when there were so many other things I did know how to handle into my mouth,
you
into
know
my
how
stomach.
To mouthful.
No.
Why is that not a word? Obvious reasons? Yeah, obvious reasons.
But there were also lots of good non-seafood options.
Yeah.
Lots of good orange chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Those yummy pork dumpling things.
Pork dumplings.
Yes,
pork dumpling dumplings. Things, which are called pork dumplings.
Those were good. That's one of the mm-hmm. things I went for seconds.
Yeah, had all the mainstays. Had some beef and broccoli.
I think I ate one stalk of broccoli, and that was the only vegetable.
Why would I bother eating broccoli?
There were some vegetables in the sushi that I had. So there you go.
So now you're healthy.
I avoided the salad bar, though. There was way too much Jell-O in that salad bar.
There was a high Jell-O quotient.
Oh, boy.
Yep, and I just mostly ate a bunch of things. There was one thing that was...
I just mostly ate a bunch of things.
Yeah, it was great. I did a similar thing to Julie where she just took a little bit of everything so she could try all of it. I did the same thing where I grabbed all the things I wanted but got lots of them and just ate way too much.
I also saw a sign when we walked in that was like, no wasting food. If you waste food, you'll pay a fee.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, oh man. So I looked at those shrimp that I didn't eat and said, oh no. They're going to say I'm wasting food.
I did not see that sign, but still acted as if I did. Did not waste a thing. Like, this isn't very good. And so, quicker than Julie, because I was going for quantity of each thing over quantity of things, over variety. Quantity over variety.
Ah, that makes sense.
There we go. And went on to the desserts, all of which were very disappointing.
A lot of them had creamy toppings that I did not approve of.
And all of them had no flavor, which I did not approve of.
That's because you're a fool to go for those when there was a soft serve machine there.
I went to both. Everyone knows I went to both. Yeah, and all of those things that had no flavor tasted much better when covered in soft serve ice cream.
Which you said the chocolate also did not have much flavor.
It had some flavor, but not a great flavor. Okay, so I went to the soft serve and I was like, I'm going to get me some chocolate ice cream. This is going to be great. And I squirted it out the little ice cream hole onto into my little ice cream bowl. And I'm like, that is much darker than this type of ice cream is in my experience. It was a very dark brown. And then it tasted very dark brown and not very chocolatey. Kind of like chocolate syrup. When there's like, okay, think of, you got some Hershey's chocolate syrup. You're making chocolate milk.
Uh-huh.
And when I was a kid, I was like, the more chocolate, the better. Let's fill it up with chocolate. And then you stir it up and it's like dark, dark brown because it's like 75%
sludge
syrup and a little bit of milk. And you're like, this does not taste how I imagined it. It does not taste good. It's kind of like that.
Uh-huh.
And so, based on my experience, Julie made a better choice.
I did. I chose to eat my weight in vanilla soft serve, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was much creamier, much deliciouser.
Yeah.
And so when I went back, I was like, maybe I should get some vanilla. And then I thought, maybe I'll get some swirl, and the good vanilla will help the bad chocolate be okay. And I was right.
You just sound like you're wasting your time and your stomach space.
Make it good, but it made it okay. It was for science.
Why do people think that vanilla is a bland, not a bland flavor, but like a boring flavor?
Yeah, it's like the classic, like plain old vanilla. Like, it's boring. It's just vanilla.
It's delicious. And the older I get, the less ashamed I am of saying, yeah, vanilla's delicious. I'd rather have vanilla ice cream than chocolate ice cream.
So what I want to know is how many kids, like I did when I was a kid, that was not grammatically correct. How many kids thought, like I did when I was a kid, that vanilla ice cream was like flavorless because it was the same color as milk? And it's like, oh, this is just milk. It doesn't have any flavor like good old chocolate ice cream. But that's not correct because vanilla is very dark. Like the vanilla flavoring, if you've ever used it to cook, it's like, oh, this is like dark, dark brown.
That is something that confused me as a child. Like, why is vanilla ice cream white, but vanilla extract is brown?
I have not looked this up, but my guess would be that a little vanilla goes a long way, and you just don't need very much of that strong, delicious flavor to
make a strong, delicious ice cream.
Exactly. But then you just have your boring white ice cream.
But it's so good. I feel like I need to go out on a campaign to improve the PR of vanilla ice cream. Be like, people, it's not bland. It's delicious.
Vanilla ice cream, people, it's not bland. It's delicious. Is that your the slogan?
Uh-huh. Except maybe I'll cut out people.
You don't want to make it sound like you're talking about people made out of vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream people.
They would be delicious.
If there were a product which was like a life-sized human ice cream in like a delivery mechanism of some sort, and you could just like eat a human that's made out of ice cream, would you be in?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Just in my brain, what's flashed into my brain is that you go to the store, there's a walk-in freezer.
Uh-huh.
And in that walk-in freezer, there's like, oh no, someone's trapped in there. And you open it up. It's like, no, it's not someone. It's vanilla person. Vanilla ice cream person.
So like vanilla ice cream molded into the shape of a person.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I? Unless it was... No, even if it were low-quality ice cream, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. I guess this would be one of those things like you have to like really change the culture of the market that you're trying to sell this in. It's like everyone needs walk-in freezers.
No, that would be a great restaurant. People just walk in and your whole restaurant is a walk-in freezer. And you just come bundled up. And you say, I would like one vanilla person, please.
Madame Tussauds ice cream shop. They're all celebrities. I'll take some of that Tom Hanks. Vanilla.
Obvi.
I don't know. Maybe he's too beloved to be vanilla. You also can't make him chocolate because that would be weird.
Pistachio. That's so much more well-loved than vanilla. What would be if you were a kind of ice cream, what would you be and why?
Vanilla. Because I'm boring.
No, you would be chocolate because I'm pretty sure 50% of your body is made of chocolate at this point.
Mm. You're welcome.
You're even wearing a brown sweater right now.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a white sweater.
We are so on brand.
Oh my goodness. I'm even wearing a white blanket on my bottom half of my body, so I look like I'm just, I am the vanilla person.
I'm the chocolate person.
We're in love. So all in all, what do you give Wynn Buffet? I would give it 4.5 out of 5 spam cans.
Wow.
What would you give it?
I'll give it 3 out of 5 spam cans.
Really? Wow, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of Wynn Buffet.
So proud of spam.
Well, this has been our segment.
Food lovers.
Yeah. And now a word from our sponsors.
Women's minor ills come from one cause. Chronic constipation is the plague of their lives. But thousands keep healthy with Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin. Women are so accustomed to finding themselves constipated that they are apt to make matters worse by indifference. Unfortunately, many seem to think that it's easier to give the appearance of health with cosmetics or stifle a headache with an opiate than to remove the real cause by taking a good laxative. You should take a dose when you feel the slightest symptom of constipation, such as biliousness. 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 Flatulence. Lassitude. Loss of appetite. Restless sleep. Bad breath. Dull eyes. Sallow skin. And to stop fevers and colds. Like, oh, you have a fever. You need a good laxative. It is perfectly safe. Even for infants. More than 10 million bottles of Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin are sold annually, the largest sale in the world. If you have been in the habit of using strong cathartic pills, salt waters, or candy cathartics, which contain a coal tar drug called something that I'm not even going to try to read. I'll try. Phenolphthalein. We especially urge you to try this milder method. You will have a better, freer passage, and without strain or gripe. A bottle can be had at any drugstore, and the average cost is less than a cent a dose. Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin, the family laxative.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so the next time you are feeling sick, like you have a cold, you're like, you just need a good laxative.
Or any time I'm out of sorts at all, apparently.
It's all women's minor ills.
Dull eyes. When my eyes are looking dull, I just really need to clean out. And now, Animal Freak Show, where we put freaks of the animal kingdom on parade.
We are going to be... We're going to be wowed and amazed and intrigued by the beauty of this world and the freaky animals that live in that beautiful world.
Mm-hmm.
So this segment was inspired by a particular creature called the shoebill stork, which is like 90% Muppet and 10%, oh gee whiz, it's actually a real thing that's alive. I'm going to show Julie a video. And she's going to be like, freak. That's a freak.
Should I describe what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
You want the sound on? Okay. All right. What I see is a bird that, oh, mama, it's big. It just kind of stood up, and you can tell that the person holding the camera is obviously shorter than this bird because they had to pan up. Oh, man, its bill is huge. And it definitely looks like a Muppet because it looks so unreal. It just made that sound. Oh my gosh. It just raised its head to the sky and made that crazy clicking sound. It's so huge. Oh my gosh. If yep. I saw that in the wild, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
But also amazed.
Yeah, it's incredible. They're like, they get to be like 4 to 5 feet tall. They have that huge bill that they use primarily to decapitate their prey.
What do they eat?
Like turtles and fish and things. So like they scoop it up like a pelican uh-huh. in their mouth, and it's wriggling around in there. And then they open their mouth. They have like a little like opening kind of thing at the big the front of their mouth. And they let the animal stick their little head out, and they go.
Oh man, that's yeah. crazy!
They make that crazy clicking sound, and. They're crazy. So look them up. They are truly fascinating.
Are you going to share a link to that video?
Yes. And so I will link to that video in the show notes. Yeah. Show notes. That sounds cool.
And in my mind, every time we do this show, we will be adding a new, or this segment, we will be adding a new addition to our Animal Freak Show?
Yep.
Pavilion, if you will.
Menagerie?
Quite.
Our Animal Freak Menagerie.
So that one will be in a little netted area outside. But with mine, you're going to need an aquarium. Yeah. Because I chose the Goblin Shark.
The Goblin Shark.
Have you heard of this before?
No.
Okay, the goblin shark can get up to 16 feet long, and it's very snake-like, like it's very thin all the way through its body, mm-hmm. but it's the craziest part about this animal is its jaws.
And it's a crossbreed between an elf shark and a dwarf shark.
Oh, gosh.
Which creates a new class called goblin shark.
Oh, boy.
This is not the right podcast. Okay.
The front of the shark's face, it has a big nose part, and then it has jaws. And I feel like I just want to show you what is so special about this creature.
Show me the goods. Oh! Oh, why would the first picture be a slaughtered one? It's like blood and guts.
Because it's saying it found... Some fishermen found it.
This is a nosy bro. Oh my gosh. What? Oh, it's an alien. It's the thing from Aliens. Yeah. It has an inner mouth.
Yeah.
Oh no. What even is that nose then?
It's just a nose.
It's more like a hat.
It's like an oar sticking out of its... face on the front.
Yeah, it's like less of a nose, it's like the brim of a baseball cap. Then the whole mouth comes out. Yeah. Oh no, thank you. Oh, and it's like translucent.
Yeah, the skin's translucent.
Is this like a deep sea creature?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's where all the freaks live. All right then.
So tell the people what you saw.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this bad boy is like, oh, this looks like, you know, a shark, but with like a really long kind of nose coming out the front. It's like, okay, long nose shark. Cool. Then it opens its mouth And then a whole other mouth comes out and grabs something. And very reminiscent of Ridley Scott's Alien. And that ain't right.
So the shark's jaws are not attached to its skull. It's it's held in place by, is it cartilage? No.
Could be. So, I think sharks are like all cartilage.
So it's held in place by something that's not bone. Mm-hmm. And when it runs into something it wants to eat, the jaws pop out from its head and trap its prey and just sucks the whole thing right into its mouth. So the teeth aren't made for like biting. They're made for trapping people, trapping things in.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, boy. I feel like our animal freak menagerie is going to be a lot of sea creatures.
That's true. It's going to be a big aquarium. There's lots of freaky things in there. Okay, so now our menagerie has a nice little grassy area, a shoebill stork, and then a nice pond that goes down hundreds and hundreds of feet to be a deep sea for our goblin shark.
Mm-hmm.
Whew! That is unsettling. And we'll put a link in show notes so you can be unsettled with us.
You've got to watch it. It's crazy.
All right. Now it's time for the freak off. Our first category for this week's freaks.
Who would win in a fight?
Who would win in a fight? So
I feel like it's obvious.
This is a weird matchup because you have creatures that live in different places. Like, if they're fighting on land, then I think the stork has a little bit of an edge. If they're fighting in the air, the stork definitely has an edge.
And if they're fighting at the bottom of the ocean,
the stork might still pull it out.
No,
the stork's innards would be pulled out from its body by that crazy mouth jaws.
Oh, I don't know. Its jaws are designed to trap things. So I don't know if it would just, like, bite it and then be I guess I'm just holding on to these dimensions.
Like, are its jaws big enough to get in, like, a critical part?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Because the shoebill's bill that looks like a clog, which is why it's called a shoebill, because it looks like a wooden clog. I could do some damage.
Yeah. Boy, I thought I was confident coming into this, and then you were a
shoe bill in. You were shoe in.
Oh boy!
You thought you were a shoe in, but the bill has come due for your goblin shark.
Keep going
to meet its maker. Nope. I lost it at the end.
Wow. Is the shoebill going to win on this?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm giving it to the shoebill for would win in a fight.
Mm-hmm. It does have advantages.
Also, if you sit and like look at the expression on the shoebill's face, it's like, looks very angry and peeved. So it looks like it wants to be in a fight. So like it has like that desire to just destroy. It's like, this thing's pretty big, but I bet I decapitate it.
But my goblin shark also has the cold, dead eyes of a shark.
Yeah, but it also has a goofy nose. Which kind of is a little bit of a drawback.
Well, now we're going into just appearances. And that's not what this contest is about.
Yeah, it's not about looks. It's about their ability
to fight each other.
That's what really matters. All right, let's go on to the second category.
Most unsettling. It's got to be that goblin shark.
It's got to be the goblin shark. Like, the shoebill's, like, sound is surprising, and it's like looking at something that, like, it's a Jim Henson reject.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, this is, like, too unsettling for Dark Crystal somehow.
If you heard that sound in the forest, I think if I knew it was a bird, I'd be like, oh, that's freaky. But I would think like, oh, that's a weird sound.
It's like, there's a tree falling over.
Yeah. Some weird creature making that noise. But
and if then you... you come around the bend and you see you're face to face with a shoebill.
It's Kevin from Up, a gray version of Kevin.
Yes, it's like a colorless, really angry version of Kevin.
Kevin's angry cousin.
Oof.
But that cannot compete with the freakiness of the unsettling nature of a goblin shark.
Yeah, that is, it is deeply strange.
If you were going to have a nightmare about one of these creatures, it would be the goblin shark.
Yes. Yes.
And all our listeners are going to be so excited to watch these videos.
People love this kind of thing. Yeah, so yeah, I'm giving it to the goblin shark for most unsettling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next category, worst pet.
Worst pet. Let's see, yeah, like, what are the criteria for gauging how good of a pet something is? There's, like, the snuggliness factor.
Uh-huh.
And they're both not great.
No, no.
So...
The messiness factor.
Yeah, like the upkeep.
Yeah.
So it seems like birds, the goblin shark,
are just terrible.
Yeah.
To clean up all their poop and their weird feathers and weird noises and.
Yeah, and then also like in terms of upkeep, like once you have the aquarium, like there's a high fixed cost, but the upkeep of that is just throwing in fish, other creatures. Misbehaving children.
You might need to clean. Just get a good water filter in there and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So let's see. Okay. So snuggliness, both bad. Upkeep, the shoebill, worse. What other factors do you want in a pet? Just companionship?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the goblin shark might have an edge on this because it's like, it's fine. It's good to have like a little goofy friend. You can just be yourself around. You don't have to worry about like putting on airs, you know?
You got to put on airs for that shoebill.
No, you just say, "Hey, shoebill, how was your day?" And then he looks at you like, "I want you to be dead now, please.
I'm going
to
cut off your head."
I like to decapitate things. Can I decapitate you, please?
No, that shoebill is not asking,
no,
please.
That's, yeah, I was going to say, like, that makes it sound like he's like cold and unfeeling. It's like, "I hate you. I hate you."
The shoebill is so big because it has so much rage inside it.
Yeah. Like, because one of the fun things about having a pet is to go and narrate for your pet, like for your dog. And
funniest home video style.
Yes, exactly. And so if I were to narrate for the goblin shark, you could do a little bit of like, "Well, hey guys, how you doing?" It's like, "Oh, my jaws fell out. Give me no jaws back."
So your goblin shark's going to be like your little prankster friend.
Yeah, just a goofy friend who's it's like,
like an old person who will pop out their dentures and freak people out.
Exactly. But the shoebill, if you were going to narrate for it, it's just, "I hate you. I will burn this whole place to the ground."
You don't think it would use its bill to destroy everything?
It'll use its bill to start the fire. That is what that face is telling me.
My vote would be the shoebill is a worse pet.
Yep.
Well, there we go.
All right, so that's two votes for the shoebill, one vote for the goblin shark. So the best in freak show goes to the shoebill stork.
But how is that possible?
The goblin shark's kind of like a one-trick pony. The shoebill is freaky for multiple reasons. And also just more likely that you would run into it in the wild.
I don't spend a lot of time at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, it's something about like ocean creatures where it's like, "That's freaky. I will never go in the ocean."
It's like, that's freaky, but almost not real life.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a different
world. I'm never going to see this in real life.
And we're also never going to see a shoebill. But who knows? It could just fly in. It could just fly in and just be there.
I didn't even think about seeing it fly.
Yeah, no, its wingspan is like 6 to 7 feet.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, that's scary. That's like you.
Yeah.
That's a bird as big as you, with a bill as big as a bread box.
And with a very unpleasant glare. And with just feathers that look like a Muppet.
Yeah.
It's like Sam the Eagle, but very scary. It's got the same expression, same eyebrows.
Like, it's more like one of the like person-sized Muppets. You just don't want to imagine that.
Yep.
All right, I will grudgingly give it over to the shoe bill.
It's fitting that the shoe bill gets this place of honor. It is the
It was the catalyst for this segment.
It's the catalyst for the segment, not the photosynthesis of this segment, which is the word that my brain was reaching for.
Were you trying for catalyst?
Yeah.
Oh, look at it. It was the catalyst. We're in love.
I just wanted to say it was the photosynthesis.
So that's been a great first round of Animal Freak Show.
Dem some freaks. And now for a musicale selection.
Bookmarks, 'cause they save my place when I'm reading about space. Sometimes other things, it's just a little slip of paper. I can't remember where I got it from, but it saves me time. It saves me time. Yeah, it saves me.
All right, folks, we have made it to the end of another glorious episode of Podville, the podcast.
You can find us at podville.com.
Yep. And if you want to keep listening to this, I don't know how you found us. I don't know where you're listening to us. But if you want to keep listening to us, you can find us on all the things, on all the places. We are in the process of getting up on all the places you get your fine podcasts. This thing is just getting rolling. It's a train heading to happy podcast land, and it just takes a little bit to build up the momentum, but it's getting stronger and getting better. So you can find us on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google Play. Someday on iTunes. I don't know. And just search for Podville and you'll find us. We are the only Podville.
In the phone book.
Only Podville in the phone book.
And they can also find us at Podville on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find us at Podville Show on Instagram.
Yeah. At Podville on Instagram. Find them and say, hey, what are you doing?
Give it to the people who really deserve it.
The people who worked and sweated and slaved and overcame insurmountable odds to make a podcast.
And where will the people find these links to these videos of our beautifully selected freaks?
In the show notes. Or I'm sure we will also put out the links on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Gram.
And if the people are too shy to message us publicly on our social medias, where else can they contact us?
Yes. If you have any suggestions for segments in the future, if you want to provide a musicale selection or be involved in some way, or just give us any good positive feedback, no negative feedback, please, then you can email me, Corbin, at host@podville.com.
And if you think Corbin's going to be too intimidating with his manliness.
And my bill, that is a shoe bill bill.
Oh, you've got one of those?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's on my face right now. It's been here the whole time we've been married.
I can't believe I've never noticed it.
It's all right. It's subtle.
I haven't looked at you very carefully all these years.
It just covers my whole face.
And if you want to discuss with me my jaw that is not connected to my skull, you can email me at hostess@podville.com.
This week's musicale selection is Bookmarks by Superhero Sandwich. Are you ready for me to be done talking?
Always.